Mood lighting, please. Thank you all for staying up late. I told Rich there we're a bunch of night owls, so we should be able to stick this out for a bit. How many people here were at the very first Winterfest? Anyone? We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, maybe? All right. Some of you are going to remember some of this stuff. Some of you may want to forget some of it. But you're going to see some very interesting pictures. This is done in chronological order. There are some years missing. This is my 28th out of 30. I only missed the first one, and one I think it was 2005 or something. But I tried to put a collection together of some photos, some memorabilia, and some fun stories to go along with some of the photos. So we're going to transport ourselves back, way back to 1988, and progress our way forward. Kind of what Charles did with radios, we're going to do it with Winterfest. So enjoy, feel free to comment, laugh, cry, whatever, as we go along. I think you'll have some fun with this. So it is 30 years of radio and friendship, and that's what it's really all about. So we will move forward from here. So, the brief summary of the Winterfest, and it was in February 88 that a group of just 40 DXers assembled at the Fiesta Motor Inn in Willow Grove, where's Harold, I need him to say this, in Willow Grove, Pennsylvania, to just talk radio. The first fest was held in the beautiful pink and purple Pancho Villa room at the Fiesta and featured a blizzard and, yes, a shooting in the motel restaurant. Not one of the festers, though. The next year, the fest moved to Culpsville, established a major program effort, and launched the hospitality room. As times passed, the fest has spawned the Scanner Scum. How many Scanner Scum here? Make some noise. That's what I was waiting for. Father John's DXers prayers, Mr. and Mrs. Hospitality, and the voice of Pancho Villa, if one were to know such things. And of course, Bob Brown, Dr. DX, and Chris Field were the gang of three, the three amigos, many names that they've been have gone by in the past. From 13 onward, though, our former Mr. and Mrs., what were they? Hospitality? Became the new Festmeisters, and the rest is sort of history. So, to provide a place to relax and just talk radio. No, we're not going to update right now, sorry.
I love to watch on videos.
This is the official Fiesta Motor Inn brochure, where this will be hard to read from a distance, so I will tell you a little bit about how they chose this wonderful venue. At the Fiesta, you're close to all the excitement, the history, culture, sports, and world-class restaurants of Philadelphia. The fun at Sesame Place, the beauty of historic Valley Forge, quaint antique shops and modern malls. Mercer Museum, the National Shrine of Our Lady of... Thank you. Colonial Villages, right on cue, I love that. And the New Hope Art Colony. We're easy to reach, etc., etc. And they show some of the fine features of the... there's the pool, and I guess, I don't know what that is, but anyways. So there you have that. Convenient map to get there.
Wish you were here.
And the official Fiesta Motor Inn postcard, which also says, pamper yourself at the Fiesta Motor Inn. 100 luxurious guest rooms, modern rates at all times. Dining room, coffee shop, cocktails, lounge, swim, pool, meetings, and function rooms. One thing that's missing off of here, it doesn't say color TV. Which they used to always have the old signs outside motels that's color TV or air conditioning.
It also doesn't mention the old ones in the bar, the wrong pictures.
Oh, yeah, okay. Okay. Anyways, features Fisher's Fine Foods and Drinks. So there you have it. the luxurious accommodations in the midst of a land of enchantment. Is one of these the actual pink and purple room or not?
Yeah.
Is it this one here? Is this one here? Okay. Yeah, it's hard to see.
If it has a parquet floor, that was it, because all the parquet was coming up.
Okay. Was it the blood stains that were bringing up the floor?
That was the dining room.
Oh, okay, okay. So there you have it. Okay. This, believe it or not, is the original contract for the pink and purple Pancho Villa room at the Fiesta Motor Inn in Willow Grove, Pennsylvania, home of the first Winter SWL Festival. Does anybody remember what this cost? It's kind of hard to read. It's well faded, but anyways, we thank you guys for supplying me with this stuff as they dug through heaps of archival material. We did move on to Culpsville and the Holiday Inn / Best Western, whatever it was called over the years. And this is a smiley face barn that if you went out the side door, you saw this barn in the field next door. Well, we gathered a number of prime people. You may be able to recognize. If you look in the bottom corner here, you see that he still looks like this.
Yeah.
Anybody recognize him?
Rich D'Angelo.
Rich D'Angelo. Over the years, I have called him the spirit of Dorian Gray. I believe he has a picture in his basement somewhere that ages and he doesn't. So there you see. And you may see some other people you recognize in here. Now, a lot of these pictures, look at this fine gentleman right here, Dr. DX.
Wow.
This gentleman here, George Zeller, Chris Field, and you may Harold Sellers from ODXA down here. Anyways, a bunch of people, a nice shot there. And that barn, I don't know if it's still up there or not, but that smiley face faded over the years. I think we were responsible for it fading into a frown after a while. But. And look at these two fine gentlemen. I should get you two to stand up beside these pictures right now, but I don't think they will. But of course, Dr. Combs and Bob Brown, and Chris, you're lucky I don't have one of you, wherever you are. So. Chris looks exactly the same. So, but yes, this was the... So now we go through the years and some of the exhibits, some of the events. This was Harold Sellers, who was chairman of the Ontario DX Association, was a regular attendee. And these were the little tiny booths that we used to set up at the beginnings. See a couple more. There's a very young-looking me with our CIDX display in 1989. I'm not sure who's visiting us there. I don't recognize that person. Anybody? No? I'm not sure. I don't know. I'm not sure. The Saturday evening banquet and raffle in 1989. Always seeing Dr. DX at the microphone up there. When SpeedX was in its last few years, the late Bill Westenhaver, you will remember the name, and he went on to be the person who signed your RCI QSL cards for many years. Bill passed away a couple years back, and here, this is a Canadian connection, I guess, between Bill was living in Montreal for a good part of his life, originally from Indiana, though, and again, Harold was set up beside Harold Sellers, that is. And this gentleman, not sure. The state of the art equipment from 1990.
I still have some of that.
You said. I like the printer, especially with that form feed paper with the little holes down the sides. Yes, wonderful stuff. This device here. K-Pro, maybe? You think? I'm really not sure.
It looks like an Osborne.
Yes. Yeah. I like the very modern display stands as well. The milk crates turned upside down. Yes, very nice. So the main exhibit hall in 1990 didn't look a whole lot different. Once again, we see the ageless wonder, Mr. D'Angelo. And so maybe a few other people we recognize in here. I'm not sure.
Chuck Ripple in the middle.
Chuck Ripple here?
Yeah.
Yes, okay. Nice hairdo here. I don't know who this is, but it's quite nice. Yeah. Anyways, okay.
Ben Hester.
1990, they asked me to come and speak, so there I am. It's amazing what you can do to hair color with photoshopping. No, it actually was dark at one point, anyways. And so that was the banquet speech there. 1991, we convinced, someone convinced the National Radio Club that this wasn't just about shortwave listening. And these two gentlemen showed up, but they never seemed very happy to be here. I don't remember their names, unfortunately. But they did show up and brought loop antenna, and there's an old Zenith in there. It's 1991. Also in 1991, the Three Amigos decided that it was time to entertain the banquet audience. The name of the group, someone?
Find Out of Time.
There we go. So yes, they put on quite the show. Very entertaining. So entertaining that it created the famous 1991 DX conga line. Here we see Father John leading the activities. Bob Brown, Jerry Dexter, Dr. DX. And this one, we were all looking at it very carefully because we weren't 100% sure, but we confirmed it today. This was the somewhat larger Eric Cottrell, who now looks a much finer, slimmer character today. And we congratulate him for the work that he did at getting to where he is today. But you see, he was still enjoying himself at Winterfest. Yes. And this gentleman, I don't think he wanted his wife to see him here. I'm not sure. I'm not quite sure who that is. Yes?
That was the most rhythm-driven music in the world. And we got up and started doing that. And is that Bill right in front of Eric? Is that Bill Oliver?
In front of...
That's Michael Murray.
Michael Murray.
That's the way 90% of the people in that room looked in the middle of that presentation while everybody was congo lining.
Yes, it was quite bad. And you see... Very true.
But that's the power of alcohol.
Yes. And another flashback of the past in this picture. Gilfer Shortwave. Remember Gilfer. This was the SpeedX gang in 1991. We have Ed Janis, Don Thornton, Ed Chikorik, Bob Colliard, and this gentleman, anyone, I don't remember his name. Anybody recognize him? Not sure. I can't read his name tag. I actually tried to zoom in on it, but it's distorted, so I couldn't get the name. I recognize the face, but I don't recognize, don't know the name. In 1991, we discovered that instead of eating at the hotel, there was this convenient little diner across the street that became part of the tradition and lore of the Winterfest and the Barrett family, which ran the famous Culpsville kitchen. So this was taken there. Margie has been a regular attendee at, and her sisters occasionally at our banquet here, pops in to say hello. She is unfortunately not available this year. She did pop in yesterday though to see a few of us. So here we have Hans Tenney, which I believe he was from the Buffalo, New York area. Never, don't know what happened to Hans. Gilles Michaud is one of our CIDX guys in Montreal, so that's Margie. This is Ben Krepp from somewhere in Massachusetts, I believe.
Yeah, Watertown, Mass.
Watertown, Mass. And Jim Hidzik, who went in on to work at Ham Radio Outlet in New Hampshire for a while.
New Hampshire, I think he lives in Delaware now.
In Delaware now, okay. And that was, of course, the old Cultsville kitchen across the street. Now, if one were to know, stealing a phrase from Winterfest, the old Cultsville kitchen did close down many years after, but a piece of it lives on. And someone in the crowd here, I won't mention any names, decided with a troop of merry men to conveniently remove the outdoor sign from the Cultsville kitchen with screwdrivers in hand in the dark. Sorry?
By myself with a screwdriver.
Are you admitting to something?
Yes, I did it out of love for you, Sheldon. For you.
Well, yes.
Across the border,
yes, they brought the sign across and on Sunday morning decided to tell me that I was going to transport it back to Canada in my van. And I said, no, I'm not. I'm not going to try to explain this at the border. It's a very large sign, by the way. So it ended up that they gave it to Chris Lobdell, and later on in the summer, they arranged to bring it up to Montreal. And if you ever get to Montreal and head to Janice's DX retreat in the West Island of Montreal, look at her tool shed in the backyard, and emblazoned on the side of the tool shed is the sign from the Cultsville kitchen. So it lives on in the suburbs of Montreal.
I did post a picture to the Facebook group a couple of years ago with the caption, if one were to know.
Yes, yes. The Japan Radio Company in 1991 actually came up with a nice display and everybody huddled around playing with the new toys as technology advanced a little further. Our 1991 guest speaker was David Alpert, who was worked for ABC, I believe it was.
Yeah.
And he is, I don't know where he is now, out west maybe, I think, California?
His wife, much more.
Yes. People did want to know, and her first name, I'm drawing a blank on it. Andrea Alpert, yes. As a matter of fact, I once, I believe it was in 1991, had to rescue Andrea. I had never met her before, and we had the table just inside the door of the exhibit hall, and Andrea came running in late one afternoon, I believe it was, and asked if she could sit behind our table. And I said, why? And she said, some gentleman is following me around. She pointed him out later on, and it turned out to be none other than our dear friend, Jerry Dexter. So she was very afraid of Jerry Dexter. She ran to look for Canadian aid to save her from Mr. Dexter. He probably just wanted to speak to her, but she was a little nervous. The fifth anniversary, they decided, and who told me today they had to special order the pink mugs because it wasn't...
Pink mugs aren't made, you have to special order.
Okay. So this was made in pink. Unfortunately, the coloring here is a little off, but it was emblazoned with poncho in purple to commemorate the pink and purple Poncho Villa room. So that mug is... I was talking to Bob Brown, putting his slides together, and I looked up on a shelf above my head, and there was the mug, and I thought, I have to put this into the display. So there it is. It's held up very well. The debut of the Scanner Scum. And here we have, they always grab the table, and we see some familiar faces in there. Some that we haven't seen for a little while. John McColeman. And, I guess John might be here this weekend at some point. Who else do we see here? Mark Meese in the back here. Bill Cole.
Don Schimmel.
Who is celebrating, happy birthday, long distance, 90 years old.
Wow.
90 years old this year.
Yes,
right here. And this gentleman, anyone? Sorry? Oh, okay. Okay.
My mistake.
And anyone else? There's somebody in here I can't make who that is. But anyways, there we have the debut of the Scanner Scum. Jerry Berg showed up in 1995. And in behind him here is this was a gentleman from Montreal, Max Frank, and his wife. Max has passed on a number of years ago, but showed up several times. Enjoyed the fest as well. More Banquet Entertainment, this time in 1995. Name again, anyone?
Wasn't that Martin Peck's ensemble?
Was it Martin Peck's ensemble? You know, I was trying to find a picture of Housie, and I couldn't find one, unfortunately.
I had one for you.
You had one? Okay. Yes, it would be nice if people have stuff that's not in here. If they want to contribute it, I can easily, you know, pop it in. So anybody has any stuff, send it along to me, and we'll incorporate it and expand on this. Look at this. Bob, you were telling me today it is your daughter's birthday today? And she is how old today?
38.
And there she is selling raffle tickets with mom. And there's her troublemaker brother, upside down here. And he is how old?
36.
36, my goodness. But Gail has not aged one bit. She showed up today and looks just as she did there.
We'll see her on Saturday night. She'll be with us for the bank.
Correct. A few of the Brain Trust. Alan Johnson, who's back with us this year. Nice to see you again. This gentleman? Hans Johnson? Okay. George, Chris, and Mike Wolfson just squeezed in here. John Arthur squeezed in back there. And this was an international broadcasting exhibit. You see some of the big stations up there. Many of them no longer with us, unfortunately. This is one of the many hairstyles of Janice Logs. This was the shaggy dog look years. Yes, that was the, everybody had perms, yes. Yes. And this is Brian Penny, he's from Fishkill, New York, a longtime CIDX member. Gilles Michaud again, and a cast of others in the back there. We have several hairstyles of Janice along the way here in this, so. There's the happy couple. I wanted to get a big picture of this and give it to you guys, but I didn't get time to do that. But this is one of my favorite shots in this presentation. I really like this. A very young John Arthur and an even younger Andy Yoder, who's grown up with this fest. If you remember him from the early years, he was like a mere child coming through the doors, and now he brings a mere child with him when he brings his daughter along, to who's no longer a child, but yes, they've grown up. And this was the ACE display, the Association of Clandestine Enthusiasts, with the pirate Q.
Arr.
Thank you. The pirate flag. The Passport to World Band radio display, Ian McFarland, and you see some RCI, Radio Netherlands, the Passport covers and what have you, and cast of characters once again.
Larry Magny,
I believe, was there that year, if I remember correctly.
A couple of them.
Yeah, he usually made an appearance, usually on a Saturday, we'd see him pop in for a bit.
For an hour or so.
Yeah. We did have some medium wave guys come back once again from NRC, a couple different guys. They were just as happy as the other guys were. we had to coax stuff out of them. They were kind of tough to deal with sometimes, but anyways, always fun. Back to the Cultsville Kitchen, and this was one of the traditions of the Cultsville Kitchen, the famous chicken croquettes. And that was the, oh, and John, where's John? John, remember that evil-looking beard I told you about?
Yes.
Look at that shot of John Fisher. Amazing shot. A very young-looking Alan Roberts. We have Ben Krepp again, Gilles Michaud, Mike Wolfson, John Fisher, Chris Laudell, Steve Byan?
Yes.
Steve Byan, okay. Yeah, I got the names right, so there we go. So yeah, we used to go over there, and that was the traditional meal, is everybody wanted those chicken croquettes. And it was the presentation that was as much a joke as they were conveniently placed on a bed of mashed potatoes. Use your imagination, as Dean said. Yes, exactly. The 1998 raffle prize table. You see some of the modern equipment being given away. What is this here?
Modern equipment.
It makes everything look modern afterwards.
But most of that stuff will show up in the silent auction.
Now, how many were there in 1998 for the most infamous banquet speaker of the history of the Winterfest, Miss Estelle Winters of the Voice of Russia? As I said to a few people today, this was the only banquet speaker who was heckled in the history of the Winterfest, mainly because it tended to drag on a little longer than it should have. To the point that she had some sound guy.
She's trying to finish up now.
She had some sound guy playing tapes from the Voice of Russia in the background, and she would cue the guy to play the tapes. And I remember at one point, she'd played like so many, and she went to cue one more, and she said, "Next tape, please." And people were like screaming, "No!" It was absolutely hilarious. But
she gave me a bottle of vodka, so I liked it.
Correct. She did bring vodka. And this brings me to one of my jokes that I crack that I always like to talk about. This was Saturday night, and on Sunday morning, before we would leave, I would zip across the street, grab something to eat, and then we'd come back and hit the road. And one of the things I would like to do was I would pick up the weekend edition of the Philadelphia Inquirer, which is like about 4 pounds of newspaper at that time. So I was walking back through the lobby of the hotel with this brick of paper under my arm, and someone saw me and said, "What is that that you're carrying?" And I very quick-wittedly said, "It's a transcript of Estelle Winter's speech last night." So Estelle took a bit of a beating that year, but it was kind of fun.
Sheldon, there's one more story.
Yes, okay.
A good friend, Richard Cuff.
Yes.
Won a major prize.
Oh, yes, yes.
Voice of Russia.
Yes.
Rich, myself, and Ralph Brandy, among others, were sitting at a table near the back. And as she was talking about this prize was, by the way, a free round of golf at a Moscow golf course that was not yet built or open. It did not include airfare.
Right.
It did not include hotel.
Correct.
It was just a round of golf. and as this is going on, as she's describing it, and as they're reaching in to see who's going to win, you hear Richard Cuff, a very religious man.
Yes.
Put his head down and say, "Please God, not me." And at that very moment, the name is run out, Richard Cuff. And rolling on the ground were me and
It was a memorable year at Winterfest, to say the least. The 98 banquet. Unfortunately, you're going to see a lot of our own group, the Canadians and the Boston guys, because we always hung around together, and I did take a lot of pictures of us, so I did have to throw some of us in here, but I think it's mainly just to see how we aged over the years. So, but you do see some other people in the background who you may or may not recognize. So. The 98 version of the Scum.
I think they changed shirts though.
They did? Well, maybe. Depending on whether you were upwind or downwind. But yes, they graced the table once again.
Who's got their back?
Someone has their back to us. I don't know, in the plaid shirt. He obviously didn't get the memo. But he was an adopted member, I guess, that year of the Scanner Scum. Franz Vossen in 99 was our speaker, and unfortunately, a little preview of Saturday's banquet, he unfortunately makes our in memoriam list this year. I'll have details for that on that for you on Saturday. A very young looking Skip Airy there in the center. The next hairstyle of Janis Laws. The pigtail look. And this, of course, is Alan Wiener in 1999. That looks like a Juliet's Wild Kingdom t-shirt, doesn't it? If one were to know, it might be. Eh?
Actually, no, that was the voice of Juliet.
A voice of Juliet? Okay. And then they went on upstairs to conduct a live broadcast of WBCQ, the late Steve Coletti in the picture here.
Room
412. That room has been contaminated, torn down, I believe. You know how they take the 13s out of buildings? They took the 12 out of that one.
And Tintron, of course, who was not in the picture, took apart the telephone in that room.
Oh, you know, get ready. You mean Tintron? Yes. There it is.
They used the phone line to get the audio back up to the main transmitter. So they sort of put the phone back together afterwards, but one of the reasons they had always requested the same room is so they knew how to take apart the phone and use it for the patch.
Very good. It was really nice to have Pirate Stevie, but it was even nicer to have his Swiss chocolate. And many of us went on chocolate fixes throughout the weekend because this plate is a large batch of smuggled into the United States Swiss chocolate, which he brought along with him. And of course, all his Swiss flags. Not sure who's speaking to him or sitting beside him there. So, anyways.
Well, that's Craig Parkins, too, this time.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Okay. 99, Alan Graham of HCJB, and he's interviewing Ed Mauger. Good shot there. 1999, he says he's from Cleveland, but more likely another planet, Mr. George Zeller. And this may have been the debut of the goggles, which have made several appearances since. The 2004 exhibit hall. You notice that the exhibit hall doesn't change very much over the years, just the people and the exhibits, but it kind of has that look to it. Another shot of it. This year we had World Christian Broadcasting participating. We see here Adrian Peterson. Scott Gentry, I believe, is it
no,
not?
No, it's AJ.
AJ, sorry, AJ, my mistake. And John Arthur again, and some backs of people, I'm not sure. I believe this is Alan Graham and Adrian Peterson comparing religious notes, comparing their religious stations. Look at these gentlemen. It is the 2004 version of the Festmeisters. Looking sly look on Mr. Cuff. I can't see his hands, so I don't know if, you know, some, don't go there. Sometimes it was very quiet and lonely in the banquet, in the exhibit hall, you know, so they were Mr. and Mrs. Hospitality for many years, so I don't know, I'm not, you know, I don't want to judge, but... The next hairstyle, which is not a whole lot different than, except the bangs. The bangs are, yes. This was a year when we volunteered to help out Grove Enterprises. They sent up a whole whack of crap to put out on the tables to sell and stuff. So seeing as I'm the guy who likes to sell stuff here, they gave it all to me. And so we put up a big display that year with all kinds of stuff going on. So that was kind of neat. This was part of the traditional swap meet that takes place on Friday evenings. So you see a few hunks of radios that were up for grabs. And, always some fun stuff showed up there. Yep. Equipment display. You see that the big old computers are now gone and replaced by 2004 state-of-the-art equipment. Yeah, there is some DRM stuff, I think, coming up on another slide here, too. 2004 raffle prizes, a nice selection of goodies here. I went rummaging through my stuff and could not find, because I wanted to add, at the suggestion of a couple people, the famous Universal Radio screwdriver, supplied by Barbara Osterman, not Fred. But I couldn't find one. So if anybody has a picture of one, I'd like to add one. Yes? Yes? Okay. I may find one. I know I have several of them around, but.
They were hand-hit, you
know. Yes. A couple of the banquet tables at 2004. A good-sized crowd here, as you can see. We move to 2006. The registration begins. People anxiously running into the room, filling out tickets. Everybody's always excited. There were, even today, there were people like waiting at the door for that door to open this morning. So that's a good sign. 2006, the assemblies joined us. Now, it was always fun with these guys that would come and they would set up on Friday, but because Saturday is their Sabbath or holy day or whichever you want to call it, so they would disappear, but the exhibit would stay. And we would have to pack it up on Sunday, and then I guess somebody came and picked it up afterwards or whatever.
Yeah.
But
well, on that note, with everybody great that happened when they weren't there on Saturday, so everybody take everything off.
This was a father and son too from the assemblies.
Actually, not exactly. Actually,
no?
On the left there, that's Gary McGavin, who I think still is their engineer. But on the right is Solomon Meyer.
Oh, James Olmeyer. Okay, I thought maybe it's another year. There was a father and son team in their exhibit at one year, I believe.
That's Solomon Meyer.
Okay.
Remember, he was a bit wide-eyed at the festivities and the enthusiasm.
Okay. The scanner exhibit, the All About Scanning, and DRM makes an appearance here with Kim Andrew Elliott. And that's Tom Ledoux, I think, being told all about DRM by Kim. Bigger stack of raffle prizes in 2006, some nice big radios up there. Yes, I believe so. And Steve is in there. And that is a Baygen wind-up radio, I think. One of the first generations, if I remember. Or no, that's the second generation, I think, if I remember correctly. Janice, was that the radio you won that year? You won a big Grundig one year. It might have been that one.
That was the first. No, the Grundig I won the first year.
The first year you were here? I know you were very concerned. She wasn't concerned about wanting me to smuggle the Cultsville kitchen sign across the border, but she was so hyper about winning that radio that year, of like, how are we going to get this across the border? But the Cultsville kitchen sign that filled the whole back of the van, no, that didn't bother her at all.
I won the Grundig.
Sorry?
I won the Grundig that year.
Oh, yes, wait, your turn's coming. Your turn is coming. Look at that, there he is, speak of the devil. Wait, this was a great shot. As you had a good haul of prizes. That's,
yeah.
For those who don't know, that's Dean Bianco on the right there, and he was a big winner that year.
Yep, yeah, with 6 tickets.
And you've now sold all those radios, correct? And made profit. And the Festmeister is over there again. Now, this week, kind of stumbled onto this again when I was looking for stuff. I completely forgot that this production was done. This was the official Cheap Ass Fest souvenir, intentionally spelled incorrectly, I was told, by the way. Booklet. 26 pages put together to mark the occasion. It includes the history of the first 20, complete list of the banquet speakers from Fest 1 through 19, an edited version of Dr. DX's speech from the first Fest, an ode by Dr. DX in celebration of the 10th Fest, some Cultsville reflections by Skip and Bill, and the DXer's Prayer by Father John, which I was going to actually bring in here and read, and I forgot it. But you can check it out. We have this booklet here if you want to take a look at it later on in the weekend. And a couple other people did manage to find their copies of it. It is, of course, printed on pink paper.
With purple cover.
Correct. And as someone said today, this is what the 20th anniversary cover looked like to the schedule, as it looks like just about every year.
Lazy, you know?
Yeah, well, you know.
We do change the date.
Yes.
Those are all Xerox copies and cutouts of QSL cards I received that started with the second test.
Okay.
Cover. And these guys are using the same cover. You haven't gotten
wow.
QSL
cards. I have not gotten
QSL.
In other words, guys, he's looking for royalties.
Yeah.
The competing DX clubs, CIDX and NASWA, the two that have been here, I guess, probably more years than any of us since going way back, so dedicated groups of people. And that Mickey Delmage, who's back again this year. Mickey has this thing that he only shows up every 5 years. He's here again this year. It's some Alberta thing, every 5 years they let him out and he comes here. DRM digital radio display. This is most people looking at it going, what the hell is this? But there you see it.
Tracy Wood.
Yep, Tracy Wood in there and a few other people. That is Eric again, I think, is it not?
Yeah, I think I might be behind Tracy.
Yeah.
That's, Eric doesn't have that anymore.
Eric can hide behind people now, totally.
So I'm too tall.
You're too tall, yes.
Chop your legs off, Eric.
One of the Radio on the Road exhibits, the 2000 presentations, I should say, the 2007. Which tour was that, Jess? Do you remember?
That's you on the beach in, where was that? El Salvador.
Okay.
And another one is another tropical island.
All right.
That was the first one we did.
That was the first? Okay.
On Zanzibar.
So oh. That was about country 10 through 30.
Yeah, something like that.
And Radio Taiwan International exhibit, I don't remember the gentleman's name, but anyways, they put in an appearance that year. Ian returned in 2007, sparked the whole trend of the I Touched Ian phenomena. Harold Sellers with him again. And this year, that year we had Rachel Bond, editor of Monitoring Time, show up, and Mickey joined in there to show her around. 2007 shots of the Scanner Scum. This time they had aluminum tin foil hats on. It was the new fashion statement that year. And purple shirts instead of pink and purple. Okay. Saul Brody entertaining us. And a couple pictures of the Friends of Pancho Villa and the Winterfest Three Amigos. Where are the sombreros now? Nobody's admitting. This looks like the tinfoil version of a yarmulke, does it not? I don't know. The only year that we convinced the American Radio Relay League that they should come to this event. They did, they came, they went, and they've never come back. I'm not sure how we interpret that, but that is the case. The National Association of Shortwave Broadcasters in 2008, you see a display that they put up with lots of neat pictures and what have you. And they had a few speakers with us. The tag team raffle ticket sellers of Marianne Kehoe and Gary Neal. And Bill Plum, who over the years was the man responsible for lots of the trinkets that we received in our registration packages, the little pennants, the pens, and other paraphernalia over the years. We're wondering about Bill. We would like to know how Bill is doing. We know he had some parent issues with illness and what have you. And
he's doing fine, Sheldon.
He is doing fine?
Yeah, okay. I got an email last week from him.
Very good. Okay, that's good to hear.
He's still doing his DX stamp.
Yes, he is.
Still doing DX stamps? Okay, very good. From Flemington, New Jersey. We go through Flemington on our way back home, and we bow to Bill out there somewhere, wherever he is in Flemington. An odd duo here, but Dr. Adrian Peterson and George Zeller, once again from outer space, this time incorporating the cheese head into the goggles. I was ambitious in 2008 by taking photos of each of the various banquet tables, so some of you may see yourself at one of these tables. So you may spot. If you want to take a closer look at these throughout the weekend, we'll have this up on the table so you can come and check them out again. We're going to get some really good shots coming up, some memory shots here in a couple minutes. So This, I love this picture. This is three of our famous people over the years, Jerry Kircher, Michael Murray, and Frank Decker. Caught them in conversation at one of the tables. Unknownst, the picture was being taken, so it was a nice sort of candid shot. Nice to be a fly on the wall listening to that conversation, probably. Greg Majewski, who we haven't seen now for a couple of years here, but has been a regular, and someone who helped out Winterfest many, many times over the year, unfortunately passed away a number of years ago, Bill Bergadano out of New Jersey.
Bill was also at the first one.
At the first? Okay.
Yeah, we traveled down together.
Okay. And he was a big winner that year with a nice new ICOM something or other. I'm not sure which radio that was, to be honest, but... Diane and Harry Smith do not look happy here, and I'm not quite sure why. And they were hoping to be here this year, but apparently their roof on their house collapsed or something. And
yeah, they haven't work done on it, and just doesn't want to be away from it while they're.
Oh, okay. So, anyways, they have graced our festival several times in the past. John and Andrew, these are, you know, set stage pictures. Again. It seems that people who stand or sit beside John have weird smirks on their face. Again, I'm not sure what's going on here, but this picture makes me sad. This is a good friend of ours. We had many long, long conversations with the late Jim Strader, who left us very unexpectedly, and a lot of us were very taken by his passing a few years back. A great guy and a great storyteller, was so proud of his kids, one kid in particular, Jim was a big rock music fan. We would sit, Bob and myself and Jim, and we would talk for hours about classic rock and stuff. And Jim was so proud because his son had started a garage band. And he was really, really proud of that, so proud to come and tell us all about it. And one year, coming to the fest, he contacted me, and he asked me if I could get him an ICOM, it was the 8500, I think, that broadband coverage thing, big monster box. So I got, and he wanted it from Canada, of course, because it was unblocked. So I ordered one for him and threw it in the van and drove it down here. Nobody stopped us again. And so I delivered it to him here on the first day of the fest. We did not see Jim the rest of the weekend. At the fest. He was locked in his room with the radio, and literally we did not see him. I think maybe we saw him at the banquet that year, but the rest of the weekend he was with that radio for the whole weekend. So we missed Jim. We missed Jim.
How old was he?
He would have been probably in his 50s, I guess. Something. Yeah, probably. 2009, Victor Gunatelica. Graced us with his speech at the banquet, and a big celebrity that year. Boy, he was in high demand of everybody wanting to shake hands with him and speak to him, and we're really glad to have him.
Eloquent speech.
Yes. Now, if anybody was at our banquet table this year, it was a very weird year. The waiters and waitresses in the room, every time they came to the table, Gumby and Bozo and friends were in different compromising positions on the table. It was just one of those years where something went wacky.
They were all.
And I mean, the whole table, I swear, we were peeing our pants that year throughout the whole banquet as this stuff was going on the table. It's just one of those things. Sorry?
It goes wacky every year.
This year was a little stranger. We don't. Yes, Gumby was quite big there. Look where his hands are. Anyways.
Go to the left, like the standing upside down.
Yes, if you'll notice, he's upside down and he's right side up, so you can figure out the rest. Strange things with animals and anyways. I had nothing to do with this. If you see me later, I can tell you who did, though.
Where'd you get the pictures, though?
How did I get the picture? I was photographing it.
Yeah, okay, so you were involved.
Oh no, I just had to document. I had to document it. In case the Vice Squad showed up.
Yeah, yeah. You're photographing this shit.
Here's to our world. It's been represented many times, and the benefactors of our silent auction every year, Tom Witherspoon in there. And the mysterious appearance of Commander Bunny, Pirate Station WBNY.
Oh, yeah.
It's amazing when pirates show up, we see John Arthur's picture.
Yeah.
He creeps into the photo each time. So, 2010, oh no, he's back. This time he has a beanie with him and the goggles and the cheese head.
Propeller hat,
yes. Skip and Marianne in 2010. 2011, we headed over to Lansdale. It's become a traditional Friday night dinner for the Boston and the Canadian guys. We get together and we head to a little place in Lansdale. And it's become, as I said, an annual tradition. And this year I contacted them on their Facebook page and told them that we would be coming into town this weekend. And they immediately were, I got a response back in like 2 minutes. And said, oh, they were anxiously waiting for us to come, and that this year they will have something special for us. So we don't know what we're going to find waiting for us tomorrow, but it should be fun. So, no, it's a little family restaurant Valentino's Bistro. It's on Broad Street in Lansdale.
We went there originally for the chicken croquettes.
That's right, yes. Janice was trying to find a place that had chicken croquettes after the Culpsville Kitchen had closed. She found this place, we went there, and that year they had croquettes on the menu. They weren't as good as the kitchens, but they did have them. The next year we went back, they were taken off the menu because nobody was buying them. We were the last people probably to have bought their chicken croquettes.
But they did have, what year did they start Chicken Quebec?
Chicken Quebec appears on the menu. So, being from Quebec, we figured, what the hell is Chicken Quebec? We have never heard of this, and we're from Quebec. So we asked. No, it doesn't, it's not chicken in maple syrup, or with poutine on it, or anything like that. So we asked, what is this, and why is it Chicken Quebec? And they told us that at some point in time, they had a chef working for them who was from Quebec. And he made a dish for them, and he named it Chicken Quebec. And nobody knows any other reason why, other than that's what he called it. And a number of us have partaken of the Chicken Quebec. It's, that has stayed on the menu. We may be the only people who do order it, though.
Did it do Quebec proud?
Did it do Quebec proud? Who had it? Eric, you had it?
Yeah,
it's still on the menu.
Yeah.
It's okay?
It's good.
This is part of our gang that heads over there. This is Margie from the Culpsville Kitchen. She doesn't go to the competition, though. She won't go over to the other restaurant. But there's John and Alan and Steve Wood, who's with us again this year, and Eric in their Red Sox jersey, sweatshirt. This year, 2011, we had Lisa Spar, who put together that book of the World War II radio heroes. So there she is with me on the...
Where's your hand, Shel?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, at least mine's the opposite sex, so watch it.
Touche.
The silent auction room. This will be active again this year, of course. This is where everybody brings their junk to get rid of. So you'll find some stuff in there. Do support it, because the proceeds do go to a very worthwhile cause, the Ears to Our World organization. There's Jerry. We all waited for Jerry every year to decide, and we would even take bets sometimes as to which story will he be giving us this year. And anyways, Jerry has moved on, and we have Alfred, who has stepped in graciously and carried on the tradition, and Skip in there as well.
And truth be known, most of the time, for most of the years, Jerry would ask which one he wants us to have him recite.
Oh, okay.
He
I thought he did. Okay.
He has about four. He had about four or five of them, all
yeah.
committed to memory, and he did no preparation.
Yeah.
If it was the Jackdaws.
Yeah.
Hat or
Casey.
Casey gets a bat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in other words, we're lucky we didn't ask you to participate in the bet because you had an inside info on that. So you knew which one it was going to be. Ah, okay. If one were to know. 2011, it was kind of fun because on the giveaway table was a radio by the name of Roberts. So John pilfered it and off the table, and we made a fake presentation to Alan because it had his name on it. So we figured it must be his. So that was a bit of a staged photo there, obviously. The three guys. Now they all have smiles on their face.
Who are those three fat guys? You can't see John or Rich's hands.
That's true. But there is space between the three of them. So there is definite space in here and in here. So
not much.
I think we're not much. John and Tom out in the lobby there. This I was fascinated by this development on the right here. Mickey and Nigel from Alberta were in this year. This was one of the every 5 year episodes, 2012. So Mickey is the QSL column editor in CIDX, and Alan Ludell, with his massive volumes of QSL cards, brought them along as he has done again today. And Mickey and Nigel went through with him every single binder that was on that table and looked at every single QSL card. They were in ecstasy going through this collection. It was fun to, I had to take the picture because this was a really interesting interaction between the three of them.
That's our first year here, I think.
Pardon?
I think that's our first year here at the DoubleTree because those two tables where John and Thomas are seated, where it looked like they were in front of the TV or the elevator.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, this is out in the lobby, actually. Yeah, that's right. CIDX display. Saul Brody again entertaining us, and this was the year where Keith Perron of PCJ surfaced, and we got a surprise. This gentleman Boris Shedoff, who we knew from Montreal, he had done some work in the past at CKUT, and was a good friend of Keith's. And came all the way from Montreal because he had heard that Keith was going to be here. So they reunited after having not seen each other for quite a few years. So they were quite happy to see each other again. The Low Power FM exhibit was in 2012. And we all know where Low Power FM is now. It's become a big thing. And FCC has issued hundreds and hundreds of those licenses out there. So. Maybe these guys had something to do with that going forward. And there's a rather stern-looking Bill Oliver and Ed Mauger. Roundtable discussion with Skip and Harold and Chris and John and Ed. These are the Barrett girls who are from the kitchen. And this year, in 2012, they decided to bring another of the delicacies from the old kitchen, and it was the famous shoe fly pie. They actually baked it and brought it, and it was given away as a door prize at the, and this was the gentleman who won it. I don't remember his name, but anyways, he didn't want to take it. So she cut a piece, gave it to him, and we took the rest of it back to our post-banquet party in our room, and we finished it off. So it was, secret ingredients. Secret, I cannot tell if one were to know. Yeah, it's good stuff. It's good stuff.
Shoes and flies.
Shoes and flies. Shoes and flies, two of the main ingredients, yes. Skip and Bob and Jim, these were the discussions that go on in front of my table year after year after year as people come in and sit down and the conversations evolve and devolve and go into strange areas and places. I enjoy this part of Winterfest myself more than anything. If you notice, I spend a lot of time at that table. It's not just to keep a watch on stuff, it's to sit and talk to you people, and that's what I enjoy most out of this thing. This is the Valentino's Bistro where, over in Lansdale, and we get together there every year. Some interesting groupings of people, Zeller and Bob and Ed, Tom, Tina Shields, and Dan, who are both here as well. All three of them are here. Martin Peck is
holding up the wall.
Holding up the wall there. The one on the right is interesting because this year we had to prove that, yes, in fact, there are two John Fishers. We have the U.S. John Fisher on the left and the Canadian John Fisher on the right. So there are two, and they are distinctly different people. Eric enjoying the post-banquet party up in our room, as we have as an annual tradition as well. We won't tell you what room number we're in. Lots of people, for some reason, don't look happy sometimes. And here we see Dave Lang and Greg Majewski. I'm not sure if they just weren't happy or if the breakfast wasn't up to par that morning, but it was just a great shot that I sort of caught them and didn't look too happy for some reason.
Almost like a caption is needed, especially with Greg's
yes.
face in there, right?
Yeah, exactly. The latest in Winterfest fashion has become an annual thing almost. We've seen various t-shirts over the years pop up. The Winterfest 2014, some of those shortwave Shindig t-shirts I think are floating around out there again this year, thanks to Dave. 2014, the Radiogram exhibit, which if anybody's been in the exhibit hall and when Kim walks away and leaves the thing running. If anybody's a fan of bad B-movies from the late 50s and early 60s like I am, and remembers the movie of the giant ants called Them, yeah. Well, John, you know about this. The sound that the ants made
yeah.
is very similar to what comes out of the Radiogram. So every time I hear that sound in the background, I'm thinking of giant ants, and I think of John passing liquids through his nose as we laugh about it, which he does. That's one of my goals at Winterfest every year, is to have John at the banquet pass a beverage through his nose. I wait for timing to crack jokes. One year he had a cracked, remember the cracked rib?
Yep.
And we did everything possible throughout the banquet to make him laugh. And he was in tears coming down his face. It was priceless. He recently retired, Dan Robinson, who looked very, very enthused about that. Deep Thoughts with Richard Cuff. It's a new segment. I think we should make this an annual thing. Not sure what he was listening to. I think he was cooking the financial books of that year's Winterfest here.
That was our first year of streaming, maybe.
Pardon?
I think that was our first year we were streaming audio.
Oh, okay.
Probably paying attention to David Gore, making sure our computer connection didn't.
Okay. Okay. There's an explanation to everything.
It's my story. I'm sticking to it.
All right. Now, a lot of people are really excited about the listening lounge. Tony, not so much. obviously, those radios didn't get used a whole lot for quite some time there because Tony seemed to have commandeered them and nobody wanted to disturb him. So he was left to play with those radios. We decided to get these guys together in 2015 because they were all together and hanging around in the room outside. So I said, I have to get a shot of you guys back together again. So there they were. And they're all here again this time. And Gail will be coming in on Saturday for the banquet. So, and basically to make sure that Bob's been behaving himself for the rest of the weekend where she's left him alone. Donna recited The Raven, if you'll remember, in 2015, and Richard was very patient in holding that microphone for her during the presentation. A segment that's become, I've been given many nicknames because of the In Memoriam segment, The Grim Reaper, Dr. Death, numerous things. It's something that we were a little hesitant to do in the first time round, and it's now carried on each year, and we try to loosen it up a little bit and lighten it up a bit. But I always get really nice comments from people afterwards, and I think people really appreciate it. As I always say, it's a celebration of the people we knew that have left us. It's not a sad thing. It's a memory. It's an honoring of those people and a remembering thing. So again, it will come up this year. Unfortunately, this year it's not a super long list, so that's a good thing. But we will mark their passing again come Saturday evening. That was from 2015. Just it was a fun shot. I wanted to get that for posterity to get everyone together there.
Why do I always have a glass of something in my hand?
Because you're an alcoholic.
And the Barrett sisters have always had this thing for British men. And Alan Roberts, I should say Welsh men. He'll get very offended if I call him a British man. Welsh men. So,
that's okay, Mark's not here.
Anyway, so that we caught that picture. There's another one we have, and I didn't have the picture of it, unfortunately. They also liked Michael Murray. And there's a great picture of them both flanking Michael Murray, who's a very tiny person. And he is just like engulfed by Rita and Margie, and it's a great shot. I sent it to him actually, a lot of fun. Janice was back with Radio on the Road again, and she did this year. This is Janice doing her best Vanna White at the the raffle table. Here we see Mark Fahey and the ageless wonder once again, Rich D'Angelo.
And is that her current hairstyle now?
Yeah, that's pretty much. Pretty close, yeah. So. The famous Bardo Box, another annual event. George seeing what was involved in that box. Tracy looking at one of his numerous prizes that he wins every year. Probably the biggest purchaser of raffle tickets we have every year. And always manages to come up with a few prizes. The 2016 toys, there was a boom of radios on display upstairs, as there is again this year. If you haven't been up there yet, please do. There's lots of stuff up there this year. I think you'll find some interesting things to play with. So there was last year's selection. And really, I think what it's all about. The 2016 Winterfest t-shirt was, I want to receive. Make up your own lines. It's what it's all about. This was the 30 years, or 29, we didn't insert 2017 yet, but these were all the banquet speakers. So you can see all the way through the various names who have put in an appearance. Some of them I completely forgot about, and some there were a couple multiples in there. And then as John, I think it was, said, we start to see 2010, 2011 Festmeisters and 2015, 2016 Festmeisters. We were noticing a trend here, as he said. So this year, it's changed up. Don't worry, it won't be them again this year. But, there you go. Somebody else actually has something to say this year, in other words. So. But yeah, a good cast of characters, I think, and credit to the people who twisted arms to get these people to stand up in front of people and talk about whatever each year. And 2017, stay tuned. Film and photos at 11. Happy 30th, everyone. Yay. As I said, if you want to take closer looks at any of these threads,